20% off supplements, cosmetics, and essential oils. Stop through and look into our curbside pickup. The deadline is September 18th for that one.
Yes.
Cannot thank you both enough for the time, and appreciate everything you do for the community and hanging out with us here. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Yeah, thanks, James.
Looking forward to hanging out again real soon.
Sounds good.
Big thank you to Stephen and Katrina Hittner from Family Natural Foods for joining us. Looking forward to hanging out with them again real soon. Coming up in part two of Morning Magazine, we're going to get an update from our friends at Encourage right here on AM 1320 WFHR.
But do you think people listen to radio commercials as much as they do television commercials?
Maybe more so.
How do you figure that?
Well, on television, your tube goes black for a minute just before the commercial comes on.
Yeah?
That serves as a warning device to millions of people that they have a split second to get out of the room.
You never thought of that.
In radio, an advertiser can just sort of sneak up on you without any warning.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you haven't noticed your car radio suddenly fading to black before the commercial, have you?
And not recently, no. But can't you still walk out when the radio commercial comes on?
Not at 60 miles an hour.
Hmm. Okay. But do you think you can really make me pay attention to a radio commercial?
I just did.
Creative thinkers. That's what we are in the WFHR sales department. This is Steph Schmidt. Give me a call at 715-424-1300. Find out how WFHR can help your business excel.
Here's your forecast from the WeatherEye Weather Center.
For today, expecting mostly cloudy skies with rain likely, high temperatures into the upper 40s, close to 50. Then for tonight, showers especially in the evening, some patchy frost possible late with lows in the mid-30s. For the day on Thursday, more in the way of sunshine making a return. We're back to some lower 60s for high temperatures. And for your Friday, partly sunny up to 66. From the Weatherology Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Michael Carroll.
Thanks a lot, Michael. Looking at the temperatures in your neighborhood, it is 45 in Stevens Point, Marshfield and Wausau, 48 in Wisconsin Rapids.
Good morning, and welcome back to The Morning Magazine, presented by Comfort Air Heating, Cooling, Plumbing. It's time for part two.
Welcome back, everyone, to Morning Magazine, part two, for this September 9th, 2020. Your host, James J. Maloff here. And in part two today, we're getting an update from our friends at Encourage. From Encourage, we have Christopher Guest joining us, chairman of the board over there, board of directors. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
Good to have you with us again. And you brought along a friend, as you guys like to do. We appreciate that. Kyle Cronin, superintendent of the Port Edward School District, joining us as well. Good morning, Kyle.
Good morning.
Appreciate the time from both of you. And before we get going too far here, Chris, how are you and yours doing? How's everybody holding up?
We are doing as well as can be expected. Just trying to navigate the new challenges and questions of every day, but grateful to be safe and healthy above all. So,
don't you kind of just wish that you could have that on a recorder and just play that every time somebody asks it? Because I know exactly, you worded it perfectly. That's exactly, I think a lot of us can relate to that. Kyle, you and yours, you guys feeling a lot of the same thing?
Absolutely. You know, each day is unique. If nothing else, we learn a lot.
Yes, very well said. Yeah, and that really, that's your wheelhouse as an educator, Kyle. So, I mean, that kind of works into, you know, right what we're talking about here today, about things going, how things are going with the school district over in Port Edwards. I'll let you go ahead and introduce Kyle, or talk about the subject here, matter here, Chris. But I feel like that's a pretty safe bet. That's where we're going to be going with things.
Absolutely. You know, we wanted to just make sure that, you know, Kyle and then the voices from Port Edwards, you know, had a chance to just sort of talk a little bit about what the district's response has been to these challenging times, but also, like Kyle said, an opportunity to learn. And we've known for quite some time that nothing spurs you into action like a good crisis, and we certainly, I think, are all feeling the pinch of everyday uncertainty, and obviously there's a lot of talk around how schools are reopening, how they're handling the situation at hand, and just wanted to give them a chance to share the story.
And necessity is the mother of invention, as they say. And we have been finding that out more and more every day as things go on. And I really do appreciate you joining us, Kyle, kind of giving us a chance to understand, especially I think it's important for a lot of us that don't have kids in school right now or maybe don't know a teacher who is basically on the front lines right now with this, what it's like for them, what they're going through, and what this process has been like.
Well, you know, it has been challenging to say the least. We have asked our staffs, our students, and our parents now to do things that, 8 months ago were not really imaginable that we'd be doing today. Everything from, and we have tried to look at this as comprehensive as possible. Everything from do we use the water fountains or not, to how are we moving students throughout the building, to how are their classes structured, and the ability to, as well, potentially move from, an in-person learning model to a virtual learning model at a moment's notice. And there are challenges that go with all of those pieces. I would say that, throughout all of this, resources are challenging, and making sure that we're doing the best to communicate, and get that information out to people, and get it out to parents. This has really remade a lot of our procedures and the way we do things here at school. And at the same time, it's vitally important that, we're still looking at the three R's, that reading, writing, arithmetic kind of philosophy, that we are out there making sure that we're providing an education to the students. It is so deeply vital that our elementary students are learning to read and that our high school students are prepping to take that next step in life beyond high school. So, and across the board, everything in between.
Yeah, every grade is so crucial to a child's evolving and learning process. And you mentioned two great examples right there, whether we're talking about kids going from third to fourth grade and the difference of what they learned then and reading abilities and math. But especially when we look at these juniors and seniors that are prepping to try to get ready for college and how important every class is for them, every grade is for them.
All of that, and what we have tried to do, I'll give you an example. At the high school level, this fall, we had several students that we had, had conversation with. Like, they were essentially credit ready to graduate, and asked them, do you want to take that next step sooner, or do you want to stay throughout? And it really depends on each individual and their circumstance. Do we have a student who's looking to go to medical school in a 4-year degree and all of that? They may need to, go through an advanced placement chemistry class and do the entire year there, versus another student who has different ideas and designs on life, whether it be a military career or a career, maybe getting a degree from mid-state, looking at nursing. Everybody is looking at, a different path there. And so we met with, any of those seniors that wanted to and really had that discussion. Where do you want to take this? The other piece of that is, in streamlining things as well, having that conversation with the kids in terms of trying to get our the number of students we have in the building, maybe trying to limit that, but in ways that are maybe a little more natural, and looking at a senior schedule and going, well, you've got a class here that you may not necessarily need. Do you want to take that class, or is there another thing that we could do? Mm. Whether that's a work-study option for that student or some other option where that student then maybe isn't in the building.
That's a big ability to be able. It's a great example for us. I appreciate you bringing that to us. And it's also, it shows the flexibility that our schools have had for a long time, but they've had to really embrace with everything that's been going on and building up to this.
Absolutely. I mean, that is something that I have certainly mentioned multiple times with our staff is at this point we need everybody to have flexibility to be able to adapt and change. And it's hard for everybody involved at times. You know, it can be hard for the staff and the students and the parents. But it's something in order to make it so that we can be in school. Those are some of the challenges that we have to take on and figure out how to do. In our middle school, we've done some things with middle school that probably for years we had tried to get away from, which was, basically homerooming the students as though they might be in elementary school. You know, they have one room, that's the room they stay in. And we've done that with our middle school classes in order to reduce their interactions with others during the day. At the moment we're moving the teachers, and not the students as much as possible. You know, it's not possible in every situation in every instance, but as much as possible, that's the tactic we've chosen to take there.
We've been asking, really all of us have, there's been more of asked of us, than normal times and with everything and every facet. And we've certainly been asking a lot of, the students, a lot of, teachers and staff, involved in these things. The parents are also on a part of that too. And there's been a lot asked of them. And there's a certain level of patience that everybody kind of needs to have when it comes to this as adults. I don't expect it as much from the kids. They're kids. And you know, every bit of adapting they do is a day on day kind of thing. But as adults, I feel, and I'm wondering if Kyle and Chris, if you guys agree with this, where what's being asked of us is a little different, but it's something that we should all be able to go to pretty easily here as far as being patient and you know, kind of giving kids a chance to get in used to these things, get used to the new circumstances and everything. It's part of our job as adults, is even if you're not a parent, setting an example like that for kids.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's, the good thing, the kids have been very, very willing to take on what is at the moment how school is going to operate. Whether it is how they're changing classes, the number of classes they have in a day. They've been very willing to do that at our middle and high school area, and so they have had flexibility, which does, you know, as well, that comes from parents who, you know, have those conversations at home about, well, if this is what it takes for you to be in school, then this is the direction we're going to take right now.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to ask, to piggyback off of that, one of the things that I found, I teach improv and acting and writing, and the other day at Second City, we were able to open up our studio, and students were able to come in, and we had a limited amount of students, and everybody had to be a certain distance apart and have their face masks on and everything, but even with all these extra things added on top of it, they were so, I haven't seen in a while this particular group this excited to be in school. And we're talking, you know, 20-year-olds and that kind of thing, not kids. Have you found an appreciation from students just getting back to a little bit of normalcy, a little bit of routine?
Absolutely. I think, this might be show more in the realm of athletics at the moment, but we have students who are excited to be here because they're excited to have something to do, you know, and that idea of whether it's being in school, but also athletics. And we certainly have seen that the kids are happy to see their friends and be involved. Despite some of those challenges and things that we're asking them to do during the day,
That's good to hear.
They've been excited to be here.
We're speaking with Kyle Cronin, superintendent of the Port Edward School District, thanks to our friends at Encourage. And Kyle, when it comes to, like, kind of rewinding a little bit and getting ready for the school year, I imagine that for a normal school year, you're going to take input from many different sources, and this year probably had to take input from a lot of different sources. Did you have to talk with, or were you on the call a lot with people at the Wood County Health Department? We were getting a lot more calls than normal from parents.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, we have developed a great relationship with the health department, they have certainly, here in Wood County, our health department has stepped up and tried to really provide us as much information as possible, and has really tried to, you know, look at this from the big picture point of view with schools, quite frankly, much earlier than the state health department was fully engaging. The Wood County Health Department was ahead of that curve in trying to engage the schools, meet with us, and talk about the opening. You know, additionally, we've surveyed our parents a couple of different times during the summer, and we developed some working groups within our staff to essentially look at how are we bringing students back into the buildings, how are we educating them, and to look at the logistics and the educational pieces and all of that combined, and certainly work to develop those plans. You know, along with meetings with other area superintendents, the Department of Public Instruction, principal meetings. I mean, this was probably bar none the busiest summer of meetings many of us have ever had here through the school system.
I can only imagine. Before we go to break here, I did have one other thing I wanted to ask. One of my favorite phrases growing up was always, if you want to make God laugh, make plans. I always thought that it was, especially as a planner myself and somebody that likes to plan and everything, that when it comes to something like this, with what your job is, Kyle, and being a superintendent and setting up so many aspects of the school year or the beginning of the school year, even just looking at that part of it, how much has gone as planned and how much have you had to adapt or the school itself had to adapt to things, like changing things even in the first week here, in the first days?
You know, throughout the summer, there was a point where I felt like we could not get our feet under us because information was changing so rapidly at times from Department of Public Instruction and the Health Department and other places where we just felt like we continued to need to do more in terms of planning and preparing and mitigating. So certainly, yes, you're absolutely right. The plans that we have only stretch so far, and to plan for every circumstance becomes difficult. And you know, and as much as we try, we are adapting as we go. And I've got a couple of examples of that that I can share, and I think are important to share. If we get back from the break, I can go ahead and share those.
I'd like that. Thanks, Kyle. Yeah. It not only goes a long way for us, just out of the interest of knowing and hearing a little bit about the curtain. Yeah. I think it's also good because there's other people that are feeling in other industries and other fields, that are feeling a lot of the things that we're talking about here and being able to have some relatability and be able to learn from. We're seeing more than ever, I think, people in different industries reaching out to other industries that maybe they've never done before because we all could use input. We all are looking for data right now because none of us have ever been in the middle of a pandemic before. So it's certainly helpful for a lot of things. I appreciate that. And we'll be back with more with Kyle Cronin, superintendent of the Port Edward School District, and Christopher Gesch, chairman and board of directors with Encourage, right here on Morning Magazine, AM 1320 WFHR.
I kept thinking it would just go away, but instead things just got worse. I was on this downward spiral with no way out. I couldn't describe the hopelessness I felt. I found Narcanon at StopAddiction.com, and things finally began to make sense.
The cravings, guilt, and depression associated with addiction are overwhelming and often result in relapse. Narcanon provides answers to drug addiction. We provide free assessment referral services to over 11,000 treatment centers. When relapse keeps occurring, call Narcanon 1-800-468-6933. Don't give up. Drug addiction can be overcome. Call Narcanon at 1-800-468-6933 or visit www.stopaddiction.com today.
The Army National Guard plays a vital role in your community. We're on the front lines supporting essential personnel, first responders, law enforcement, and medical professionals, delivering food, supplies, and medicine, keeping communities safe, making a difference. During emergencies, we're always ready, always there. Learn more about part-time service in the Army National Guard at nationalguard.com.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard, aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Here's your forecast from the WeatherEye Weather Center.
For today, expecting mostly cloudy skies with rain likely, high temperatures into the upper 40s, close to 50. Then for tonight, showers especially in the evening, some patchy frost possible late with lows in the mid-30s. For the day on Thursday, more in the way of sunshine making a return. We're back to some lower 60s for high temperatures. And for your Friday, partly sunny up to 66. From the Weatherology Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Michael Carroll.
Thanks a lot, Michael. 45 in Stevens Point, Marshfield, and Wausau. 48 here in Wisconsin Rapids. We're wrapping up Morning Magazine, and we have joining us Kyle Cronin, superintendent with the Port Edward School District, and Christopher Gesch from Encourage. We appreciate you both joining us. And before we went to break, Kyle was mentioning that you had some examples for us about some of the adaptability and adjustments that you kind of had to make in the beginning of the school year.
You know, probably a piece of information that we put out to parents that was provided to us by the Wood County Health Department, Department of Health Services from the state, really had to do with the idea of what you do when your child is sick. How long do they stay home, and what are the pieces there? An interesting piece of information that's included with that is the document that we had, and we've got it posted out on our website, says, when does my sick child and other family members need to stay home? And so this is one of those adaptability pieces. We are so used to, as a society, I have a sick child, they stay home, and, you know, maybe depending on the age of the child and how sick they are, a parent may or may not stay home, but, you know, typically it might be, well, your brother or sister is fine, they're going to get to school, and we'll keep you home, and so be it. Well, the one piece that I think, again, we are so used to as a society is the fact that we worked with the child who was sick or the person who was sick, right? But right now, under the current conditions, for instance, if we have a student who is sick, either they were called in, and depending on what their symptoms were for COVID-19, and depending on how they run out through symptoms, we may have to send siblings home who aren't sick. Even a situation where, you know, we have a child who is sick in school and their parent's a staff member. We may have to send that staff member home. Hmm. You know, because that idea is that, you know, if that person is sick with COVID-19 and would test positive, all the other people in that household are then, you know, in that situation where they may be quarantining. So, you know, that's just one of those pieces where everybody's had to adapt. We've had to adapt in our systems here in making sure that we're also flagging siblings or staff members or others, but certainly parents as well have had to adapt. And it's just not something that, you know, it's something that was probably fairly conditioned in, and so now we're kind of breaking that, and because we have to, you know, these are the guidelines that the health department has, you know, established for us to follow in terms of how to deal with and work with students or staff members who are sick.
Understandably so, we focus on the health and safety of the kids, and that's all of ours. Again, as adults, that's not only our responsibility, it's something we honor, we want to do. But it is not to be taken lightly, the teachers that are being in these positions too. And I appreciate you mentioning that about them and what they would have to deal with if they do catch this and come down with it. For the staff, how does that work then? Do you guys have like extra subs ready to go? Forgive me for going to like a baseball kind of thing here of like having like a million guys in the, you know, AA ready to come up if I need them to because of the COVID situation or something like that. But it is kind of, it does remind me of that a little.
We are, and I would say this, I think this is, in talking with colleagues around the state and what we are seeing, there is no pool. It is very shallow at the moment in terms of the substitute pool. Hmm. And that was the case to a certain degree prior to this pandemic.
Really?
It is certainly the case now. Our substitute pool is extraordinarily thin. That is not just a Port Edwards condition. That is certainly something that others are seeing around the state, around Wood County. We do not have a great big pool to go to at this time.
I can see
lack of substitute teachers being a condition that could cause a school to close, maybe even without having a bunch of positive COVID tests. Mm-hmm. It could simply be not the ability to staff the school.
Right. You have a certain class that can only be taught by a certain teacher, and if they're not available or something, I could see the trickle, the domino effect of
this.
And part of what frustrates me about this pandemic going on and why I want us to get through it so quickly is so we can get back to focusing on other issues that are important. That's one right there that we don't get to talk about enough. This has been going on for quite a while. I don't think, I'm positive a lot of people don't know that what you were just saying there about the pool of substitute teachers being very low, speaking to a lot of people not getting into the teaching industry like they used to.
And that's absolutely correct. The Department of Public Instruction has made and relaxed a lot of the rules revolving around licensing for substitutes and whatnot. And it is certainly much easier to become a substitute teacher now than it was 10 or 15 years ago. But that hasn't resulted in a huge increase in our pool. It just really has not. We've not seen that. It has probably diversified our pool, but it has not meant that we've got a whole lot of extra people to lean on.
It makes what you do as a superintendent that much tougher. It makes it that much harder for kids as well, but especially puts a lot, again, on the teachers that are already out there doing this work.
And just a
chance to tip our hat to all the great educators out there and all these great teachers and what they're doing. Kyle, when it comes to, in the last couple of minutes we have here, is there anything that you want to let the audience know and let people out there know that maybe we haven't had a chance to touch on?
Well, in what I highlighted before, just about the idea that we certainly want people to take care of themselves. If the child is sick or somebody in the household is sick, take care of that first, obviously. Contact us at school so we're aware of the situation, and certainly take care of that. That's the most important piece there. We want people to be at school who are healthy and able to learn. And so that's absolutely vital. The other piece is, making sure that parents engage their children in what's going on in school, in their education, whether that's students, and, we certainly do have students who are have taken a virtual route at this moment, but the majority of our students are in person, but we do have a segment, and just making sure that they are, talking with their children and seeing what they're learning and how it's going. We certainly have had bumps along the road and, technology issues here and there, and that happens. We're working through all of those pieces as quickly as possible. But that idea of being patient, being flexible, a lot of this is new for our staff, and I know it's new for our students, and I know it's new for our parents. So giving each other that ability to show each other some grace.
Very well said. I think that's something that we certainly can with this, what we're talking about here, and with everything in life, be a little more patient with each other, a little more kinder, having a little empathy right now in this day and age. It goes a long way. If people have follow-up questions, Kyle, or have other thoughts or things they want to ask you about, can they do that? Can they reach out to you?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'm available to try to answer questions and do that.
How can they reach you?
If they reach out to me here at school, my email address is Krona, so C-R-O-N-A-K-Y, at P as in port, so P-E-S-D, Port Edward School District, P-S-D, K12.WI.US.
I really cannot thank you enough for the time, Kyle, and would like a chance to talk to you again, maybe towards the Christmas break, or and see how things are going again. Hopefully we can touch base again with you real soon, but cannot thank you enough for the input and the time.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. And thank you to Christopher.
And we appreciate everything you're doing for our kids and our community and everything, Kyle. Thank you for that. And feel the same way. And thank you to our friends and Encourage and what you guys do in our community and bringing people like Kyle onto the show with us, Chris. Christopher, one of these days you and I are going to just spend the whole half an hour talking theater, though. So get ready for that show.
Happy to do it.
Thanks again for joining us, Chris. You guys take care.
Thank you.
Thank you both. And a big thank you to Christopher Gesch, chairman on the board of directors with Encourage, and to Kyle Cronin, superintendent of the Port Edward School District. Thank you very much to both of them for the time. And a very big thank you to Stephen and Katrina Hittner for joining us from Family Natural Foods today. More Morning Magazine for you tomorrow right here on AM 1320 WFHR.
One of their top 10 public health threats.
The U.S. is closing in on 190,000 COVID deaths.